Eva mana adasva mai buddhim niveshaya nivashyasyasi mayeva atha urdvam nasanshaya. Just fix your mind upon me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and engage all your intelligence in me. Thus you will live in me always, without doubt. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. One who is engaged in Lord Krishna's devotional service lives in a direct relationship with the Supreme Lord. So there is no doubt that his position is transcendental from the very beginning. A devotee does not live on the material plane. He lives in Krishna. The holy name of the Lord and the Lord are non-different. Therefore, when a devotee chants, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Krishna and his internal potency are dancing on the tongue of the devotee. When he offers Krishna food, Krishna directly accepts these edibles, and the devotee becomes Krishna-ized by eating the remnants. One who does not engage in such service cannot understand how this is so. Although this is a process recommended in Bhagavad Gita and other Vedic literatures. Beautiful sloka from the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Lord Sri Krishna is assuring us, without doubt, if we simply accept the process of devotional service, as he explains in Bhagavad Gita, we will always live with Krishna. We will always be in the presence of Krishna. This material world is a place where there is unlimited phenomena trying to divert our faith away from Krishna. How does material energy divert our faith away from Krishna? By promising us security, shelter, or enjoyment in the temporary illusions of this world. To the degree we depend on material facilities or material philosophies for our security and well-being, to that degree we are in a condition of fear. Fear is rampant within the human heart because we know that at any given moment these objects which are giving us meaning and purpose of life, whether they be wealth, family members, friends, loved ones, they can be lost at any given moment. And yet, throughout our life, in our family, in our schools, through society, through the politicians, through the social welfare servants of society, everyone is trying to take our faith away from God. and put our faith in these illusory substitutes. And therefore we have doubt. And when we come to Krishna consciousness, we have to battle against all of these doubts which have been implanted within our minds since time immemorial. And Bhagavad Gita was spoken by Krishna in such a clear and philosophical manner to free us from doubts, so that we will take to the process of bhakti fearlessly, with assurance. Because Krishna consciousness is a gradual process. It is a lifetime's work. We should not think that it is something so cheap that after 2-3 months or even 2-3 years we will attain the supreme treasure of prema bhakti. The impersonalists, they struggle for hundreds and sometimes thousands of lifetimes just to get a glimpse of impersonal liberation. The karmis, they perform yajnas for sometimes thousands of lifetimes just to get promotion to the position of a demigod or a resident of the heavenly planets. The yogis, they spend thousands of lifetimes performing tremendous tapasya meditation, controlling of their life airs, just to get some powers, siddhis. And even the grossest materialists in this world, they go through nursery school, elementary school, secondary school, high school, college, university, BA, master's degree, PhD. Then they go out into the job world and they work 9, 10, 12 hours a day, foaming at the mouths like asses throughout their whole life just to get a nice house to live in, a pretty wife or handsome husband, a few children. What people laboriously work for. And Krishna in Gita is promising us the purushartha siromani, the crest jewel of all goals of life, prema pumartha mahan, pure unalloyed love of Krishna. Muktanam api siddhanam narayana parayana sudurlabha prasannatma koteshvapi mahamuni. It is very rare to find one pure devotee of Krishna, because Krishna only gives pure devotional service to one who wants it more than anything else and who is willing to put aside everything for that. If there is anything in all of creation you hold more dear than the goal of love of God, you cannot achieve love of God. So when Srila Prabhupada promised in this lifetime, if it takes our whole life to even approach the ocean of pure devotion, it is not much time at all. But in order to practice these teachings of Gita, we have to have conviction that yes, this is the goal. Yes, if I surrender to Krishna, I am not the loser. Yes, if I give up so much that this world treasures for my Krishna consciousness, I will only gain hundreds and millions and trillions of times. You cannot follow the path of real devotional service without this faith. With a little bit of faith, you can practice other religious systems, because there's not much to lose. But there's also not much at all to gain. But in Krishna consciousness, sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam vraja, Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayi shapi masucha. Krishna requests us to abandon all conceptions of life and just surrender to Him. So Krishna is assuring us, have no doubt, if you just fix your mind upon Me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and engage all your intelligence in My service, you will come and live with Me always. This is without doubt. So Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in this world for the purpose of practically demonstrating the teachings of Gita through His life. Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna and established the highest principles of Sanatana Dharma. But as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, He put into His own life His own words. And He wanted to show us by His example that there should be no doubt. If we just fix our mind on Krishna, nothing of this world can threaten us. This was wonderfully exhibited in one particular pastime of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As we know, after Lord Chaitanya returned from Gaya, His every moment was in glorifying the name of Krishna. And in the home of Srivas Thakur, every night His devotees would have beautiful, beautiful kirtan. And in the morning, the innocent and pious people of Navadvip, who realized that they did not have the devotional credits to come to Srivas's house, they would greet Lord Gaurasundar at his residence. They would bring him gifts and flowers. They would bow down to him. They would behold his supreme beauty. And he would, with straw between his teeth, such humility, he would humbly request them, worship Krishna. Always think of Krishna. Make Krishna your life and soul through always chanting His names. Take this Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And chant it quietly as japa in your own homes. And take this Maha Mantra and come together, 5 or 10 of you, or however many, and in your homes, amongst your friends, clap your hands, play the karatals, mirdangas, and very beautifully, sweetly worship the Lord by chanting His holy names.
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
In this way, throughout Navadvip and the villages surrounding Navadvip, in practically every home, people were playing karatals, marudangas, people were clapping their hands. Everywhere there was heard the beautiful chanting of the holy name of Krishna. Of course, the blasphemers, the atheists, the materialistic worshippers of demigods, the Smartha Brahmins, they were very upset. They would criticize the devotees. What nonsense. What wealth are you getting? What beautiful clothes are you receiving through your chanting of these hymns? The name of God is meant to be chanted silently, secretly. If you chant loudly, you will disturb the Lord and He will become so angry that He will destroy the universe. And meanwhile, complaints were coming to the Qazi The Kazi was a great Mughal conqueror who was the governor of the area. His word was the law in Navadvip Dham, the district of Nadia. So one day the Kazi was walking down the road and he heard from houses in all directions devotees chanting, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
And he became furious. Since when are Hindu rituals allowed in my kingdom? He ordered his soldiers by the thousands to destroy the instruments of the devotees and to beat the Hindus. Anyone chanting this holy name must be beaten and arrested. So the soldiers of the Kazi, throughout the day, they would search through the streets listening for anyone chanting the holy names of Krishna. And if they found any of them, they would severely beat them with sticks and fists. Sometimes they would imprison them. Sometimes they would plunder all the wealth of their home and abuse their family members. There was a terrible wave of cruel, treacherous persecution in Navadvip. And the Kazi himself would go out and beat the Hindus chanting the holy names. And on one occasion, he personally took the Murdunga drum and smashed it to the ground and ordered, anyone who disobeys my law to never have this Sankirtan will be punished by my hands and will be destroyed. So the devotees became very fearful. And they came to the house of Lord Chaitanya and they humbly submitted their anxieties. We are being beaten, we are being blasphemed, we are being plundered. Maybe we should go to some other place. This is not a suitable place to chant the holy names. When Lord Chaitanya heard what type of atrocities were being inflicted upon his devotees, he became so angry. He began to roar, and the universe shook. And he called out, I am time personified. I am the master of Yamaraj. Even Shiva the destroyer is my servant. Anyone who interferes with this chanting of the holy names, I will stand before them as death personified. Now this afternoon, you go, you take your lunch prasad, and then you come to my house, everyone in Navadvip, and bring torches, and we will have beautiful kirtan in the streets. At that time, throughout Navadvip and all the villages surrounding, all of the people, the devotees, following Lord Chaitanya's order, began to make torches with sticks and cloth. They were buying unlimited quantities of oil and soaking with oil. The fathers were making torches. And the children, they were watching and they were making their own torches. In this way, every home was making torches. And some people, with such devotion, they were making thousands of torches themselves. And by the millions and millions of people, they all came to Nimai's house. And they were very much excited. Today, Lord Chaitanya will dance amongst us. Today, for the first time, we will see with our own eyes the beautiful dancing of Sri Gaurahari. When they assembled, Vrindavan Das Thakur explains, there were thousands and millions of people. And Vrindavan Das Thakur explains that anyone who doubts this number will be ruined. Because the Lord, when he descended to this world, he brought with him as many associates as he wanted to take birth in Nadia to assist him in his Leela. And they were all holding their torches, very excited. And then Sri Gaurahari came out of his house and he looked at everyone and he smiled. And he raised his beautiful arms, which extended below his knees, above his head. And with a loud, thunderous voice, he ordered everyone to chant the holy names. Just at that very moment, the sun set, and Lord Chaitanya instructed them to light their torches. There were thousands and millions of torches. And all at the very exact same moment, they all were lit. And it explains that it created so much light that no one could tell whether it was day or night. There were so many millions of torches that everyone's bodies were just effulgent with the light. And everyone, in great devotion, was loudly following the Lord's instruction by chanting his holy name. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu organized the Sankirtan party. He ordered Advaita Acharya to go to the front of the Kirtan party. And then he ordered several devotees to be singing and playing instruments while Sri Advaitacharya would dance. And then he organized a second kirtan party behind Advaitacharya's, where Haridas Thakur was beautifully, jubilantly dancing, and so many devotees around him were playing instruments and chanting the holy names. And then behind him, he arranged for Srivas Thakur to be dancing. And so many nice devotees were singing and playing instruments and dancing with him. And then he looked at Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And he said, Lord Nityananda is like my own self. I cannot be separated from him. We will dance together. So in the very back, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda began kirtan and started to dance. And as Lord Chaitanya began to dance, it was the first time the general people of the world were allowed to see the beautiful dancing of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As he was dancing, his beautiful golden form was trembling in ecstatic love. His wonderful, wonderful eyes, like the full-bloomed lotuses, were streaming with nectarine tears of love, like the flowing of the river Ganges. His beautiful lips, which were red like the crimson fruit, were smiling in ecstasy and appeared to extend to both of his ears. His teeth, which were like beautiful pearls, were shining and glistening. Perspiration was flowing from all of his pores like eruptions of nectar. His beautiful hairs were standing on end like the flowers of the kadamba tree. It is explained his arms, which were like golden pillars, were raised above his head, and there was a beautiful garland extending below his knees of fresh forest flowers. His beautiful, beautiful blackish hair was tied on the top and decorated with jasmine flowers, and it was moving to and fro as he danced. His dance was so graceful, so beautiful, that anyone who saw it was enraptured in ecstatic love of God. And seeing the dancing of Lord Chaitanya, who had Lord Nityananda on one side and Sri Gadadhar on the other side, they become struck with ecstatic love. And all the demigods, it is explained, all the demigods, upon hearing the kirtan and seeing the dancing, they fell unconscious. And when they came again to consciousness, they all took human forms and joined the kirtan in Navadvip. In this way, there were millions and millions and millions and millions of humans and demigods all dancing together while chanting the holy name. Yamaraj, Vayu, Varuna, Brahma, they all took forms of human beings. Lord Shiva took the form of a sannyasi, and without any clothes, clothed in the four directions, it says, he was dancing like a madman amongst all the other millions and millions of people. In the presence of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda and Gadadhar, this kirtan became so ecstatic that everyone in the kirtan spontaneously assumed a four-arm form. Vaikuntha descended upon them. The millions and millions of people with four-arm forms, but not a single one of them noticed that anyone had four arms, because they were so enwrapped in seeing Lord Chaitanya and chanting the holy name. And in every house, there was at the front door auspicious banana trees. How is it that just for the kirtan, these banana trees were growing right at people's front doors? And every household was pitting beautiful ghee lamps and drawing the auspicious pictures with sacred flowers and rice and other auspicious ingredients. Every single house. And the people of the houses, they were putting flowers and coins and other things on the road to make the path auspicious for all the devotees. And the kirtan was so attractive that everyone from all of their houses, they just left their homes with their entire families to join the kirtan and begin chanting and dancing. In this way, everyone forgot to even close their doors. So the thieves of Navadvip were very excited. They were thinking everyone has left their homes. Everyone is so intoxicated with this kirtan, they don't know who is coming, who is going. We can rob their houses and become multimillionaires. This is the moment we've all been waiting for. This is a feast, a great festival for thieves. So as they started running to people's houses to rob them, they became so much infected by the sound of the holy name that they forgot their desire for wealth, they forgot their desire for stealing, and they all began dancing like madmen, free of all material desires, chanting the holy name. In this way, as Lord Chaitanya was dancing through the streets, people were simply enamored by seeing the beauty of his devotees. And as he was dancing, he was continually inducing everyone to chant louder and louder and louder. As it was getting later and later at night, people were completely forgetting who they were, what they were, where they were. Everyone was immersed in love of God. And they went from village to village. And they began to dance along the banks of the river Ganges. Nagariya Ghat, Virokana Ghat, Madhai Ghat. Then they started progressing toward the village of the Chand Kazi. And as they were proceeding toward that village, the devotees, in great ecstatic love, started thinking of the persecutions of the Kazi. And some of them began to chant, "Kill the Kazi. Destroy the blasphemers of the holy name." Meanwhile, Chand Kazi could hear tumultuous, tumultuous echoing vibrations of the name. And he asked his servants, "What is that? Is it some wedding ceremony?" And they said, "We'll go and see." So his guards went out and they looked at this kirtan, and they came back to the Chand Kazi and they told him, "It is Nimai Pandit. He must be some great acharya, because there are millions and millions of people all chanting the holy names with him. And some of them are chanting, 'Kill the Kazi.'" So Chand Kazi said, "Well, you go out there and you stop them." So many of his guards and soldiers, they went out, and when they saw the massive ecstatic phenomena of this kirtan, so many millions of people, so much energy, such loud chanting, such beautiful dancing, they were thinking, "What can we do?" The soldiers of the Kazi were so afraid that they would be detected because people were actually chanting by the millions, "Kill the Kazi, kill the blasphemers of the holy name." They became so afraid that they began to put their heads down to hide their beards. And they very quickly took off their turbans. And just so that no one would recognize them, they started raising their arms and chanting and dancing. hoping that no one would see that they were the Qazi's servants. So in this way, the Qazi's men all joined the kirtan. And some of them, somehow or other, got back to the Qazi and told him what is happening. So he became very much fearful. However many soldiers he would send to stop the kirtan, that many soldiers joined the kirtan, dancing and chanting for the holy name. And as the Qazi could see this massive display of devotion was gradually coming to his house, he saw the millions and millions of brilliant torches all coming to his house, and he heard the cries, "Burn the Qazi's house!" So he was very afraid. And then Lord Chaitanya came there amongst all of them, and he with great anger was calling out, "Who is it that is going to stop now the Sankirtan of the holy name? Who dares to come and stop it? Who wants to see death personified on this very day? Who wants to see time itself, the devourer of everything, face to face? I have come, Chan Qazi." And then people were saying, "Burn his house." And people began to beat his house. And people were destroying his gardens and tearing down the outer walls. And Chan Qazi was hiding in a secret place, trembling in fear. And then Lord Chaitanya approached in a very respectful way and said to one of Chan Qazi's guards, "I have come as a guest to his house. Why does he not come to greet me? I will not harm him." So Chan Qazi came down, and Lord Chaitanya said, "What type of etiquette is this? When a guest comes to your house, why you do not come to receive him?" And Chan Qazi, with folded hands, he said, "I am very sorry, but what I heard your millions of people chanting, 'Kill the Qazi,' I became very afraid." He said, "But actually, we are from the same village, and therefore, by village custom, I am your uncle and you are my nephew. So if the uncle makes a mistake, the nephew should forgive him and not take it very seriously." So Lord Chaitanya became very sweet, very loving toward the Qazi. And he said, "I have a question for you. You drink the milk from the cow. Therefore, the cow is your mother. And you till the fields with the bull. Therefore, the bull is your father. So why do you slaughter, kill your mother and father to eat them? What type of religion is this that you are following?" And the Qazi explained that just as you have your Vedas, we have our Quran. And in our Quran, there are two paths. There is the path of material prosperity, and there is the path of spiritual advancement. In the path of spiritual advancement, cow slaughter and killing of animals is absolutely forbidden. But in the path of trying to approach God for material enjoyment, it is allowed. Even in your Vedas, there are cow sacrifices and horse sacrifices that are recommended. And Lord Chaitanya replied, "But understand that you can only perform such a cow sacrifice or horse sacrifice if by chanting of mantras you can make that old cow come back to life in a new body. If you cannot do that, you commit the sin of killing your mother." This is not the sense of real compassion. When the Chan Kazi heard this logic, he understood, and he explained, "Yes, what you are speaking is the essence of all great religions. Real compassion, real love." And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, "Why are you interfering with the chanting of the holy names? Why are you beating the devotees?" And the Chan Kazi began to explain that, "I want to tell you something very secretly. Can we go to a secluded place?" And Lord Chaitanya said, "My followers are very intimate. You can speak anything before them." He said, "That day when I broke the mridanga, I came back to my palace. And that night, a ferocious being who was half man and half lion jumped on my chest with terrible, terrible sharpened teeth in my face and a dashing tongue and ferocious eyes. He looked at me and then he took his nails and began to rip open my chest. And he says, 'Because you have harassed the devotees chanting the holy names, today I will tear you to pieces.' And then he began to roar. And as he ripped at my chest, he stopped. He said, 'You have not committed too much of an offense as of yet. But if ever again you do anything to stop the chanting of my holy names, I will be back to destroy you.'" And then the Chan Kazi explained that when I woke the next morning, what did I see? And he lifted his cloth and showed Lord Chaitanya and all the devotees the nail marks of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he told them that all of my soldiers who I sent to stop the kirtan, they were all coming back. And they were telling me that we went to the kirtan, we tried to tell them to stop, but all of a sudden our beards set on fire and our faces became burnt. Just look at us. And as we tried to tell them to stop chanting, from our mouths continuously came the holy names. In fact, since seeing these devotees and hearing these devotees, we cannot stop chanting the names. And then all of the soldiers, they were all saying, "Hare Krishna Rama, Hare Krishna Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Chan Kazi said, "All my soldiers, all my ministers, 24 hours a day, beyond their power, they're constantly immersed in chanting Krishna's holy names. Therefore, I could understand that you are the Supreme Lord Narayan. You are the Personality of Godhead. You are the ultimate goal of all the great religions of the world. And today I surrender to you." Lord Chaitanya asked, "Please make this vow that in Navadvip the name of Krishna will never be interrupted." And the Chan Kazi made a formal proclamation that from this day on, all of my descendants for all years to come will always encourage, never disturb, the congregational chanting of the holy names of Krishna. And when Lord Chaitanya heard this, he said to the Chankazi, because you have personally chanted the holy name on this night, you are completely purified of all offenses, and you are now the object of Krishna's supreme mercy. The Chankazi became a pure, unalloyed devotee of Lord Chaitanya. That the devotees to this day go to his tomb to worship him and remember this beautiful story of his surrender to the Lord. At that tomb of the Chankazi, there is a beautiful champak tree that was planted because his name amongst intimate friends was Champak. So he was represented by the champak tree. And growing along with and intertwining with that champak tree, even to this day, is a neem tree, which represents Lord Chaitanya, or Nimai. And devotees go there to see the intimate loving embrace that is eternally taking place between Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Chankazi. In previous incarnation, the Chankazi was Kamsa. As Lord Krishna, he killed Kamsa by beating him with his fists. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has not come to kill the demons, but to give them all love of God. In Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, Kamsa became a pure, unalloyed devotee and an intimate associate dedicated to the chanting of Krishna's name. Then Lord Chaitanya, being very pleased and giving his gracious blessings upon the Kazi, he again began the kirtan. And when he came out amongst the devotees, the Chankazi came with him to join the beautiful kirtan of the holy name. Then Lord Chaitanya sent him back. And they went back into the village, chanting and dancing so beautifully, so wonderfully, as everyone was ever increased in their ecstasy to see the deliverance of this great demon. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to perform one of his most intimate and adored pastimes in the hearts of his devotees. After dancing and chanting throughout the entire night, he came amongst his devotees to the simple abode of Kolavecha Sridhar. Sridhar was that very poor and humble seller of banana leaves. People would ridicule him because he had no proper clothes. He only had old clothes that other people would discard. And he would keep those clothes for so long that there were all different color patches sewed on to cover up the holes and the rips. And his body was so thin you would see every bone because he would eat so little because of lack of food. But all day, he would just very honestly sell his little bananas that he would grow, and the leaves, and the bark. And he would never overcharge anyone. And whatever money he would make, the first thing he would do was take half of it to worship Mother Ganges. knowing that Mother Ganges is a devotee of Krishna, and he understood that the supreme of all religious principles is to worship Krishna's devotees. And whatever was left, he would somehow or other survive with his family. And at night, he would just very loudly chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra throughout the night. And the atheistic people and the materialistic worshippers of demigods, they were so annoyed by Sridhar, they couldn't stand him. What is the use of all your chanting? We are worshipping goddess Chandi, Kali, and look, we have nice clothes, we have nice homes, we're traveling in palanquins. You don't even have shoes, you don't have proper clothes, you don't have proper food, your house is just a wreck, it's a thatched hut, rain leaks through the roof. What are you getting from all your chanting of Krishna's names? What is the use? In fact, your Krishna gives you so little food, that is why you are chanting all night. Because your belly is in such pain from hunger, you're crying out Krishna's names throughout the night. But Sridhar didn't mind. He was very happy just to know that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was being kind upon him. Kalavetu Sridhar was so humble. He was so simple. And he was so pure. When Lord Chaitanya personally came right to his house after this supreme, most beautiful kirtan in all creation. In fact, the Chaitanya Bhagavat explains that that kirtan, that took place on that night, was the most beautiful exposition of spiritual potency that had ever been revealed on the earth. He concluded by going to Sridhar's house. And at the foot of the door of Kolavecha Sridhar's little hut, there was an old, dented, bent iron pot that Sridhar would use for all different purposes, personal purposes. And when Lord Chaitanya saw that pot, he lifted it up. The husband of the goddess of fortune, the lord of Vaikuntha, the proprietor of all riches and all the spiritual and material worlds, with great devotion in his heart, he lifted this old, battered iron pot of Sridhar, and he began to drink the water from it. And as he drank it, that water tasted sweeter than nectar to Lord Chaitanya. And when the devotees saw this, they fell to the ground weeping. They had never seen the Lord exhibit such love for his devotee. The Supreme Personality of Godhead puts aside all the fortunes of the spiritual world just to drink the water which has been used by his devotee. When Kolavecha Sridhar saw this, he became very alarmed. He said, "Now I am finished. How can you be taking the water that I have drunk? From this pot I've been drinking from as long as I remember. How can you do this? You have come to save the conditioned souls. Today you have come to destroy me."
And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with tears of ecstatic love flowing from his eyes, continued to drink the water and exclaim that I have come to this world just to drink the nectar of your devotion. In this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to show the world that there is no greater worship than the worship of the devotees of the Lord. The Lord wanted to show the world how very careful everyone must be in dealing with the Vaishnavas, because they are non-different than the Lord himself as far as his own heart is concerned. As you treat Krishna's devotees is how you treat Krishna. Lord Chaitanya wanted to conclude this beautiful pastime by giving this truth to all of us, that if we always remember him by chanting his names and always appreciate and glorify his devotees, then we will always live with him. This is the process that Lord Chaitanya has given: to honor, glorify, and worship the devotees, appreciating their value, and amongst them to congregationally chant the holy names. This is the religion of the age of Kali Yuga. Without respecting and appreciating Vaishnavas, we will never be able to properly chant the holy name. And we should never see a devotee by material qualifications, because Kolavecha Sridhar had no material qualifications. He was not a scholar. He was not a rich man. He was not coming from an aristocratic family. He was poor. He was simple. Nobody with any material conceptions could appreciate anything about him. They thought he was a useless, wasted fool. But Lord Chaitanya saw one quality. He saw his humility. He saw his devotion. And therefore, the king of Vaikuntha, the moon of Vrindavan himself, descended to this world to worship that devotee and to drink the water that had been drunk by his devotee for his own purification. We must learn to see devotees in this light. We are not concerned with caste. We are not concerned with educational qualifications. We are not concerned with material abilities or inabilities. We are not concerned with sex. We are not concerned with any consideration, save and except, is this person sincerely trying to be a humble servant of the Lord? If they are, we must follow in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and we should worship them. We should honor them. We should appreciate them. We should aspire for the remnants of such a soul for our purification. And if we establish this consciousness within our mind, then when we chant Krishna's name, Krishna descends and he dances upon our tongue and lives within our heart always. This beautiful verse from Bhagavad Gita has been taught by Krishna, and how to follow it, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us the process. Just fix your mind upon me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and engage all your intelligence in me. Thus you will live with me always without doubt. All doubts are removed when we come in the association of nice devotees of the Lord. Doubts are like demons. And just so many demons came to Vrindavan. But when the demons would come, the devotees would come together and remember Krishna and chant Krishna's names, and all the demons would be finished. So this is Vrindavan. Radha Gopinath's temple is Vrindavan. There are so many demons of doubt and lust and anger and envy and greed and pride and illusion within our hearts. But when we come together with devotees and we chant Krishna's names, all these demons will go away. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki.